Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome, welcome. And to Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show for this Wednesday, October the 9th, out here in snowy Western Canada. I'm your host, Rod Peterson, as the man said. Darren DuPont not with us right now in the bunker, but he will be a little later on. As we set sail here on hour one, I welcome to the bunker the esteemed Robert Vanstone from the Regina Leader Post, who's got a new, his new book is out. It's not officially available yet, though. Is it, RV?
Early November.
Okay. He's got his new book. And Derek the Duke Myers.
I have no book, so.
Media grade. You'd have to read one first.
That would be a start. I think many have been written about me, though.
I want to read the unauthorized biography.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine?
That Motley Crue one that came out?
The Dirt. Yeah. Changed my life. And not for the better.
What happens in Vegas shouldn't stay in Vegas, Derek.
Here we go. Now we're ready to go.
You're good?
I feel good. Yeah, we've been all over the place. Everything's happening. I've almost snapped my leg three times this morning. This whole town's like a curling rink. Have you guys noticed around your spots, too? You could probably have a heated driveway, Myers, knowing the way you roll.
I do not have a
heated driveway. But anyway, I'm still a little sore from wiping out in front of the gym. But we're good to go. Because this is a very big day. It's a very big day. I would have called it the CFL trade deadline special, although it just reminds me of the ones TSN did in the past where Jay and Dan said, welcome to the trade special. All we need now are trades.
Yeah. Duke and I got to pick up our phones and look like...
Right. Well, and that's the point. 3 p.m. Mountain is the CFL trade deadline today. So everybody bring it in. This needs to be a team effort today of the guys in the bunker, the guys in the back room here, Clark and Jordan. We got Paul on the couch and Darren. We're building a wall over here, by the way. Paul's paying for it. From all we understand, and
pourquoi?
From our viewers and from our listeners and everybody, you hear CFL trades today, you hear rumors of CFL trades, please let us know. We'll dissect them. So we got these guys here. We got Jim Hobson coming in, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, former Ryder Presidente. El Presidente, as they call him, will be here to talk about the 10-4 Riders going up against the Stampeders in the first place showdown on Friday night, plus whatever trades that may come down. Now, I do want to mention off the top here, last night's NHL results, Drew Doughty wasted little time in giving his LA Kings a win in Calgary. Doughty scored in overtime 50 seconds in as the Kings topped the Flames 4-3. Doughty, of course, having the last laugh. Everybody in Calgary and hockey fans in LA know what I'm talking about with Matthew Tkachuk.
Hey, and great for those two. For actually giving us a little something to watch
absolutely.
In the early season.
It's missing.
There's a little something stirring the
and
drink.
And then... a performance to remember for James Neal, of course. He scored four goals, including two on the power play, to give the Edmonton Oilers a 5-2 road victory over the New York Islanders. The Oilers are off to a hot, hot, hot start. They have won all three games they've played.
Are you back on the bandwagon?
A winner in the Neal Lucic trade. It's the Edmonton Oilers. It's over.
You call it quicker than the CTV election desk.
George LaRocque was on this program, and he said we would know early into the season who was the winner of this trade, and he was right. It's the Edmonton Oilers. So you Oilers fans watching, get used to Ken Holland, your general manager, fleecing teams on deals. It's over. The Oilers won the Lucic-Neal trade. And by the way, Lucic fought twice now in four games.
Well, he got a fight last night, and then the Flames scored a couple of goals shortly thereafter.
Okay, that's what they signed him for?
Yeah,
okay.
He did his job, apparently.
Meanwhile, Chris Neal on pace to maybe eclipse his career high of 41 goals. Oilers still win the deal. In case you haven't checked, nobody fights anymore, dear.
No, I'm okay with that.
Moving on to, we needed a poll question before we delve into the CFL trade deadline talk. Any poll questions come to mind? Producer Clark's idea was, will there be a trade today? But this is a 24-hour poll and the trade deadline is 3 p.m. I'm not against that. Any other poll questions come to mind? Before we put it up for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center?
Are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers dead in the water? Yes or no?
I think we know what the results of that would be. RV's thinking. I can tell. I can smell the smoke.
I'm not sure there's a trade they can make that can repair what is missing
from quarterback
right now. If there's the Riders dealt with this situation in 2014 after Darian went down and Tino Cinceri came in, was found wanting Seth Thagy, etc. They ended up signing 41-year-old Kerry Joseph. But this time of year, especially with quarterbacks being at such a premium everywhere, you can't just snap your fingers and say, we're going to bring in somebody who's going to fix this. Zach Collaros, there's all sorts of questions. McLeod Bethel-Thompson's leading the league in touchdown passes, and the Argos don't even want to start him. So really, what are the options out there that can come in and fix that? It's an unfortunate situation for them, but Rider fans know that all too well.
Okay, then that's what it'll be. Clark, I will tweet it here while these guys are talking. If you can put it up on Facebook and our website, will there be a trade in advance of the CFL trade deadline, 3 p.m. Mountain today? I believe there will be one trade at least, and whether it is involving the Bombers and Argos for a quarterback or not, I don't know. Jeremy O'Day has shown a propensity for trades. When he was the interim general manager back in 2015, he dealt away Kevin Glenn and acquired Tyler Crepinia for Jerome Messam. Jeremy is the kind of guy that likes to make trades. I'm not sure that the Riders need anything.
Well, that's a good question. What would you, like, if you're Jeremy O'Day, you're sitting there today, your team is in first place, so you're not a seller. You're clearly a buyer. You look like you have a chance to go for it this year. If you're Jeremy O'Day, where do you look? Like, how and where do you look? I mean, it's, to me, it's a straight depth thing. I don't even know how deep are they in the secondary, because they've been fairly healthy there all year. Is that a position that maybe you go, we bring in a depth guy, a veteran guy that could probably come in case we have somebody go down. But other than that, I mean, because they've been healthy. They really haven't had any issues in the secondary. I know Cam Judge is dealing through the concussion protocol, but you got Sam Hurrell. Maybe that's another spot, though. Maybe a line. Like, it's a tough spot for... How do you improve if you're Jeremy O'Day?
And that's a real testament to the job your Jeremy O'Day and Paul Jones have done, because their depth is such that you're not really ringing that bell thinking, bring in a player to fill this glaring void. It's depth issues. It's if somebody gets hurt in the secondary, is there somebody they can plug in? Last year, they picked up Patrick Lavoie. They picked up Philip Blake. Those were deals that... that benefited the team. Jeremy O'Day, as you said, has shown that he's not averse to making a deal on deadline day, but there's not anybody I think they're going to acquire who they would just say, okay, you're starting against Calgary, right. you're starting against BC, you're starting against Edmonton. They've built a roster that is so layered, and I'm not sure they get a lot of credit for that, because Jeremy O'Day isn't in front of the cameras and microphones all the time, but he very quietly behind the scenes has done a superlative job. And I don't think Paul Jones's contributions, whatever they may be, because you never hear from him, have been given adequate commendation either.
You will never hear the name Paul Jones ever, and you'll only rarely hear the name Jeremy O'Day. And the thing about Jeremy is, although he doesn't like necessarily the spotlight, I don't think he really enjoys doing the interviews. He's always been the guy that does them, particularly in the tough situations. Going back to when he was a player, remember?
Player rap.
He was the guy with the Trevor Smith incident. Maybe even when the SPCA people were picketing outside practice. They had closed practices. Jeremy was always the guy that the players would trot out to speak on behalf. I don't think he wanted to. That's not easy. But Jeremy's always been the guy that we'll let his record, or we'll do our talking on the field, or I'll let my record speak for me, and that's what's happened. So Nelson writing in this morning from Phoenix, and he says, apparently the Argos have said it's all on the table. I'm sorry to joke, but I just have this feeling that it's a flea market at BMO Field today. You know, various costs of items for sale there with the Toronto Argonauts. One day, Pinball Clemens on the job, everybody's on sale.
It's interesting.
It's a blue light special.
Sorry, Roddy. You look at Ottawa, and they're having an awful season. But you look at that team, and you think, okay, who would I want to pick up? But you look at Toronto, especially the players they have on offense, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of commodities there that you can look at and say, okay, he could help. The fact that they're as bad as they are with, I think, a number of players who would be thought of as coveted is a real indictment of the kind of season they've had and the way that team has been administered.
It's interesting. Darrell Walker, James Wilder. I mean, they've got playmakers on that
Armani
side.
Edwards, SJ Green.
I mean, they've got playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And you saw a flash And I want to say one flash against Winnipeg. You know, you saw that flash where they can be extremely dynamic. But if you're sitting in pinball shoes today, do you start giving up some of those assets? Because where does that put you next year? I mean, I think they're at, what, 6 wins over the course of the last 2 seasons? Like, at some point, you need to start building for the future, but you can't give you know, some of those guys away either. And it all hinges on, can you get a guy behind
the center?
Well,
okay, so if I may, you're right. They've got all those pieces. Let's not talk about the wins under Mark Trestman and Corey Chamberlain. Let's talk about the wins since Ricky Ray went down with injury. Because that's what it comes down to. And the Argos have all those pieces that you mentioned. And on defense, too. They really do. But it reminds me of the Riders in 2014-15. You pointed it out, RV, when he got hurt, Darian. But also 2015, where he popped his Achilles in the first game and he was done. And the Riders went 0-9. And I'm looking at their roster. We're traveling around the country. I'm seeing them getting on the airplane. I'm seeing them walk through the airport. And I'm like, Chris Getzlaff, Neil Hughes, Weston Dressler. They're all the same guys. What's missing? The quarterback.
Yep.
So they didn't all get terrible overnight. And the coach gets fired. And in Toronto, both places. So who do they sign? That's the funny thing with their quarterbacks, McLeod, Bethel Thompson, and James Franklin, and, well, the other guy, Dakota Prokop. Whoever's available, they're all bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And Corey Chamberlain's going to take the fall? This was funny yesterday.
But he'd get the kudos if they win it, because everybody gives kudos to Mark Trestman.
You can't win, though, without a quarterback.
But he won it with Calvillo and Ray, and that's what I always said, and he was gifted two of those Grey Cups.
But I don't think that a bad coach can make a talented team win. You got to have a good coach, good team equals championship. It should. Plus a little sprinkle of Jesus and a little magic and all the rest. But how about this, which came out of the Argos news conference yesterday? Matthew Schenetti tweeting it. That Corey Chamberlain says he will not accept a demotion to defensive coordinator under Pinball Clemens. He's the head coach. He signed to be the head coach. He wants to remain the head coach. And I was talking about this with Donnie Hewitt last night on our TV show. It's smart on Corey's part. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Why would he accept a demotion? That's not what his contract says.
100%.
Fire me, pay me, and he can build another house. Like the Riders paid for in Chandler, Arizona.
Plus, how did they do that with the football operations salary cap? In effect, they fired Jim Popp. They kind of get him almost amnesty for making one
good
firing, right? But you start piling up the firings, and that reduces your cap space. So now that Jim Popp's been thrown overboard, do they really have a choice but to keep Corey Chamberlain? And if you're going to pay him a head coach's salary, he'd better be your head coach. Otherwise, it's financial chaos unless they decide that this salary cap should just go away.
Or the commissioner just turns the blind eye to the Argos, like what I believe has happened in Montreal. Oh, they added an extra coach to their staff in the middle of the year when he retired. And, oh, Kavis Reed's been circumventing the salary cap. How come we haven't heard anything about any of that? Because the Argos need help. So maybe we'll just look the other way.
It's because the league owns this Montreal.
That too. Whatever.
I love that conspiracy theory.
Well, you can see where it comes from.
Oh, 100%. But yeah, they're getting all these breaks. You know what? The refs are giving them an easy time out there too. I'm sure of that one.
Our sales manager, Tyler, had a idea on a poll question. And that is, how much did Derek Myers pay for his haircut? $10, $20, $30, or more than $30?
Don't like the haircut?
He didn't say he didn't like it.
He's mocking it a little.
I had my hair vacuumed yesterday.
I spent 30 minutes brushing my hair, and then I left it sitting on the dresser. Jeez. How much did you pay for your haircut, Myers? Come on.
Give it. What was the categories? What were the categories?
$10, $20, $30, or 30 plus with a bowl of soup.
30 plus with a bowl of soup.
Okay, nice work. We're just getting rolling on the warm-up this morning. On the way, Brian Munns, Winnipeg Jets broadcaster. Mighty Mouth, Bryn Griffiths, to talk Oilers and Eskimos. Jim Hobson as well. This is episode number 91 of the Rod Peterson Show, and we'll talk about some famous 91s plus a sports update when we come back. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from, with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. A nice, cozy morning here in the bunker on episode number 91 of the program. And now we've had a flood of 91s come through. The very first guy that I looked up was Sergei Fedorov.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Mr. Anna Kournikova.
Who was a better skater? Like Coffey or Fedorov's in that conversation, though, isn't he?
Paul Coffey, Bobby Orr. That's about it.
No,
Fedorov. Eric Karlsson.
Fedorov's amazing.
Other 91s. Producer Clark says John Tavares. He says the conversation begins and ends with the real Johnny Hockey. Mark Savard of Boston Bruins fame, as Robbie Swallow has written in. And what Rob Vanstone has put up, maybe we should talk about your new book, RV.
How convenient. Thank you.
Well, how convenient is the best of all time numbers for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in your new book?
Yeah, I got a new book. It's not out till November, but I got a whole box of these in via UPS yesterday. It's called 100 Things Rough Riders Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And it's 100 cool things about the team. Spanning 1910 to pretty much, I even got the Montreal Alouettes, the rain-shortened game. I was able to get this in there for a fun.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it's as good as it gets.
August,
it's a month old.
Which was amazing. The last chapter I picked, because of the 100 things, I picked uniform numbers, best player to wear the uniform number from 0 to 99 to kind of get 100 things in the final chapter. So number 91... not a huge illustrious list from Rider history, but Cookie Gilchrist wore number 91 mm-hmm. for the Riders in 1958 and rushed for 1,200 plus yards. Went on to star in the American Football League with Buffalo and, of course, the Denver Broncos.
He's a legend.
He's a legendary character. And so Cookie Gilchrist was the choice for number 91. I frankly don't remember who the runners-up were, so it wasn't a legendary number in Rider history.
So if anybody else wants to chime in, and by the way, Tom Halleck watching in Winnipeg this morning, he says Butch Goring, Islanders great, former Islanders captain, I'm not mistaken, and Flin Flon Bomber.
Speaking of characters.
Butch Goring. Absolutely. Very active on Twitter and Instagram, by the way, Butch Goring. He's a good follow.
Huh.
So, hey, 91. Got some good names here for the 91st episode of the Rod Peterson Show. This is our CFL trade deadline special. Now all we need are trades. Sorry, Jay and Dan. I had to steal it. TSN even knows not to do a special on CFL trade deadline day. As far as we know, I'm waiting here to ring the bell. There's been no CFL trades yet. The deadline will be at 3 p.m. Wednesday. Sports update, by the way. Three Canadian NHL teams were in action last night. The Oilers defeated the Islanders 5-2. Rob Vanstone's Winnipeg Jets were 4-1 winners in Pittsburgh. And the Flames lost 4-3 in OT to the Kings. We've got Jets broadcaster Brian Munns coming up before too long at the bottom of the hour. In the dub last night, the Oil Kings overcame the Regina Pats 5-3 last night at the Brand Center. I was there. PA Raiders won at Vancouver 4-2, and Medicine Hat was a 4-2 winner over Portland. Just one game in the SJ. Killer Kaminsky's LaRonge Ice Wolves won in Notre Dame 5-0. Both National League Division Series are going the distance. The Atlanta Braves host St. Louis this afternoon with the best of five series tied at 2. Later tonight, the Washington Capitals are in L.A. facing, did I say Capitals? Washington Nationals are in Los Angeles to face the Dodgers.
Los Angeles.
And one more NHL note, Patty Marleau. The pride of Anne Arroyo, Saskatchewan, is back with the San Jose Sharks. The veteran forward signed a one-year deal with the Finns for, I believe, what'd they say, 700 grand? Chump change. That's what it was, 700 grand. So there is your morning sports update brought to you by Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, and compiled by Connor the Volunteer. We've had a change. They just broke out laughing. Did you hear that? Connor the intern's internship is over. Uh-oh. We told him that. He kept showing up. So he's now become Connor the Volunteer.
Hey, that's how you get a job in this business.
I know. Hustling. That's what DuPont says.
Hustling.
Hustle. You got to hustle, baby.
Do I tell that one?
Oh, a few more. Steven Stamkos. Yeah. Boy, 91 is turning out to be a real legendary number.
I want to also just the last thing on Rob's book here. Who do you think the best number four is in his book? And I'm not going to spoil it. You got to buy the book to find out. But there is a debate to be had there.
There is a good debate.
Like, you can tease a few things. Can we not?
Sure,
can we not
talk? But I'm not going to say who he picked as number four because it's debatable. And you got to buy this book for Christmas.
Who are the debate? Obviously, Darian Durant. Who else?
Kerry Joseph.
Albert Brown.
AB.
I mean, Kerry Joseph won an MOP.
Yeah.
That is not something that happens in this province very often.
I'll go by career wins. And to me, Darian Durant.
Sure.
But so I don't even think it is a debate, frankly.
To some people.
It's, you know what, you have to, it's one of those ones like you consider, but when you, as you said, you look at wins and you look at longevity and you have to choose Darian. I mean, he took the team to 3 Grey Cups, won one. And just all the things that he did.
Just trying to tease it here, you guys. People had to buy it. I was just trying to get him to buy the book.
Well, that spurs some great debates. By the way, a couple things I need to point out. Scott Henbury writing, morning from GW. Good morning, Scott, Director of Sales with Great Western Brewery in Saskatoon, the province's largest brewery. Thank you, Scott. You notice we put the original 16 sign up on the wall here in the man cave. Dale Durkach is listening, and he's chimed in with Bobby Orr. That just came in. We're talking about Riders. Yeah. Unless Bobby Orr played for the Riders. Did I miss that?
No.
We were talking about greatest skater. Myers, you're all over the place.
Well, I was talking about Rob's
just
book.
Let me be the quarterback. I'll decide where the ball goes. Yes. Okay? From Darren Bombing, is this bell ringing worthy, Clark? No. He says no. Darren Bombing on Twitter from TSN Winnipeg, TSN 1290, says, just got off the phone. With trade talks cooling off in Hamilton, it sounds like the Bombers are the last team with real interest in quarterback Zach Caleros. Considerations, the asking price, and whether Toronto's new brass sees Caleros as part of their future. Really, Darren Bombing is the only guy that's reporting anything worthwhile that I've seen on the CFL trade deadline day. And the talks... So what is he saying? He's saying Hamilton's out, Bombers and Argo still talking about Zach Caleros. How long should it take? And I've heard these reports that they wanted Zach Caleros and the Argos countered with James Franklin. Like they wanted ditch everybody.
Man, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Like whom?
Winnipeg?
People would have traded in their best combine to get James Franklin in this province 2 years ago. And now, whew, they can't give him away. Can't give him away to a contending team that needs anybody that can basically turn around and throw it more than 10 yards. I mean, that's wild.
And Toronto's got a quarterback who's leading the league in touchdown passes in McLeod Bethel Thompson, and he's deemed...
expendable.
Expendable. So it's just a strange year out there.
Well, this is not something the CFL needs, and I guess the CFL, i.e. a trade deadline that's nondescript. And as far as Edmonton... Wiki. Trevor Harris is not playing. They need a win to clinch a playoff spot. How are they not involved, as far as we know, from anybody in terms of acquiring a veteran quarterback? How come we've heard nothing out of Edmonton?
Are they comfortable going through the East? I wouldn't be right now, the way Montreal's playing. I mean, they used to be kind of like, maybe you want to stick in fourth place. You don't have to go to Winnipeg, to Calgary, to Saskatchewan. You get to go to Toronto, and then you basically, like the Riders a couple of years ago, you know, one or two plays away from the Grey Cup just by default, by showing up. I don't think that's the case this year. I think the East is, you know, not as strong as the West as a whole, but at the top, I mean, I don't think I'd want to go to Montreal for the playoffs. I think that's a tall task.
The way they're playing?
Yeah.
I'd like to stay away from
that. But is that Edmonton's strategy? You know, like, let's, maybe we
Edmonton
don't want to go
needs
through.
To be looking over their shoulder.
You think that you...
Not looking forward right now. They haven't even clinched a playoff spot yet, let alone deciding where they want to go. Come on. Are you serious? They've lost, what is it now, three in a row? No, they won in Edmonton, but prior, or in Ottawa, but prior to that, they had lost four straight. So what is it, five of six they've lost? They're not in a position to be choosy,
and I mean,
is my point here right now.
I know BC had Toronto, but I mean, you don't put up that many points by fluke on a professional team. I mean, they're coming together. They're starting to come together a little bit in BC.
One question I've at least fielded, not necessarily posed, is do the Rough Riders look for a veteran quarterback? Is
just in case.
Just in case. I don't think they will. Mm. I think they have a lot of confidence in Isaac Harker, but... Three plays into the season, Zach Collaros went down. Cody Fajardo takes a lot of hits.
Yes.
Their season could be irreparably changed were he to not get up after one of these hits he's absorbing. So do the Riders buy themselves some insurance if, in fact, you deem what's out there to be an insurance policy worth purchasing?
We're going to find out over the course of the next 4.5 hours. However, here is another tweet. I'm not sure from whom. Clark will tell me in a minute after I... Multiple sources saying former Argos GM Jim Popp had an extension in place with Zach Collaros for 2020. Former Argos GM Jim Popp was working towards a new pact with quarterback Zach Collaros, as per multiple sources, is what Clark put. Like, what? Another reason why he should have been fired. What am I missing here? He takes a hit in the head from Odell Willis last year and can't play in the playoffs. He takes it in game 18. He can't play because of concussion symptoms, and then three plays into the next season, he takes another hit and he's done. What am I missing? I would never, ever, ever pin my franchise's fortunes to Zach Collaros right now as it stands with his concussion history. Gentlemen, what am I missing?
Plus, he hasn't been an effective quarterback, at least consistently, since 2014.
Well, he won 10 games here last year until back-to-back concussions.
On the strength of a outstanding defense, 9 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, and there were games the opposing team actually scored more touchdowns offensively in Zach Collaros's 14 starts or 10 victories than did the Rough Riders. So even those 10 games that they won with Zach Collaros quarterback, the other team scored 19 touchdowns, the Riders scored 16. So was that Zach Collaros or was that defense? I don't want to totally discount what Zach did here, but that defense powered the team to those victories.
But are we seeing a time when desperate times call for desperate measures? Because you look in Ottawa right now, the quarterbacking situation. Look at Strevler. Look at Saskatchewan, and I don't know what or how they identify Cody Fajardo, but that seems to be kind of almost the anomaly. Vernon Adams has been around a little bit. Like, this shouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world that he's starting to play good. This guy played at Oregon. He played it in a high-powered offense in college. He's been around the league a little bit. But when you look in Edmonton, you look at even Calgary. I mean, it was hit and miss. I mean, there isn't a lot of depth at the quarterbacking position around the league. And so maybe it does become a case of kind of desperate times. I mean, the Riders were kicking tires all offseason last year with Riley, with Bo Levi Mitchell, and I dare say settled with Zach Collaros. Yeah, I mean, is that where Toronto's at right now, going, what are our options?
Well,
what
else is out there? And ended up signing Cody Fajardo, which saved the franchise.
And absolutely it did. But that is the anomaly, it seems like, in the past 12 to 18 months. A guy like Fajardo is clearly the anomaly. Whereas, other than that, I mean, McLeod Bethel Thompson. Can't even get that guy's name out. There's so many consonants in there. You know, last year, he could be the guy. He could be the next Collaros. Well, it doesn't look that way. James Franklin, 2 years ago. I mean, this guy is so dynamic. He can start on any team in the league. Now they can't give him away. Chris Strevler. Strevler. Yeah, Nichols. Get Nichols out of there. We get Strevler in. He's the guy. I mean, there was calls for that in Winnipeg this year. Oh, have those gone away now?
Oh, yeah.
There's not a ton of depth at the quarterback position in this league right now.
Although if you look at it, quarterbacks, when they have been pressed into duty as opposed to being anointed, have done pretty well. You look at Dane Evans in Hamilton. You look at what Nick Arbuckle did in Calgary. Vernon Adams Jr. when he got the opportunity. Cody Fajardo here, obviously. Yeah. So not by as far as adhering to a blueprint, but okay, next man up, you'd better play well.
But the shine was coming off of Arbuckle. Yeah. I mean, for the first game or two, it was, oh, do we even want Bo Levi back? Well, and then all of a sudden, you'll take him back.
From Dan in Regina, Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777. He says, maybe it's an extension as a coach. At least it should be. From Dan in Regina, I agree. I don't know why they're flitting around with Zach Caleros with his concussion history. It's just unfair to the kid. Metal shingle guy writes in and he says,
of course,
what you're missing is that the Argos are blowing smoke. It's a negotiation tactic. I thought he'd be an Eskimo, not a bomber. I still think the Eskimos by the end of today will be heard from. We haven't heard anything from them again. Hello, Edmonton. Where's Terry Jones on this? Where's the Flying Dutchman, Jerry Bonnenjohn? What's going on with the Eskimo? Maybe they'll do nothing.
The Oilers are playing.
And maybe they'll miss the playoffs. Oh, yeah, James Neal scored 4 last night. Yeah. And
the Eskimos are fully in page 8.
That is a wonderful segue to our next guest. We've got Brian Munns with us, the pride of Humboldt, Saskatchewan, and Regina, Saskatchewan. Oh, we lost him. Clark's telling me they lost him. Are the Jets home yet, by the way? Was that
they
the end of their roadie?
Thursday to Minnesota.
So they're home after the win last night in Pittsburgh 4-1.
That's a real lid lifter, isn't it?
I'm excited about it.
Well, that's the thing. While we work on bringing in Brian Munns, Winnipeg Jets broadcaster from Winnipeg, fresh on the heels of the 4-1 win at Pittsburgh last night. He tells me they have him now. Okay. Yay. Clark, come on in with Brian. There he is. We got Munnsy with us from the Manitoba Capital. Good morning, Munnsy. How are you, my friend?
Great, Rod. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. We've got Rob Vanstone and Derek Myers here in the bunker. Vanstone, the only Jets fan as part of this conversation, so I know he'll have a lot of questions for you. But I've been watching the games, Munsey. 2-2 on a pretty tough road trip to open the season, I would think, as the Jets and their fans pretty happy here as they get ready for the home opener.
Yeah, no question about it, Rod. To wrap up the road trip the way they did in Pittsburgh last night and with the defense corps that they had, Neil Pionk being their most veteran blue liner with just over 100 games under his belt, it was a challenging night going in mentally for the club and everybody around it. But, boy, those young guys played well. And after Sidney Crosby scored 32 seconds into the game, kind of everybody looked at each other wondering what kind of a night it was going to be. But Connor Hellebuyck was brilliant in a 37-save performance after that, and three of the young defensemen were able to score some goals, and Nikolai Ehlers found the back of the net. So to go 2-2 on the tough road trip that it was through the New York City area was a pretty good way for them to start the season, with all things considered.
These guys are going to have a lot of questions for you, and I only got one, and it's what everybody's talking about around here, because there are a lot of Jets fans here, Munsey.
Status quo.
Okay. Where they're saying, the question is, why are we not hearing anything about Buff? Why has it gone silent?
Well, right now, he's deciding what he wants to do. And until he decides if he's going to play or not this year, that's kind of where the whole thing is at here right now. So the organization doesn't really have any update for us because they haven't got an update from Dustin Byfuglien. So that's why I said status quo, because as soon as somebody starts to bring it up around the organization, that's the very quick answer we get. So unless somebody is around a lake in southern Manitoba here that can track down Dustin Byfuglien and get an answer for us, that's kind of the way it's going to go, because he's probably fishing.
All right. RV, you go ahead with your Jets questions.
By the way, it's nice to chat with you, Brian. Good to see you.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Look forward to seeing you.
Are you coming in tomorrow night?
I won't be, but I'll be seeing the Jets very shortly in beautiful Regina, which I never thought I would be saying. So,
we'll come to you for once. You come to us enough.
Isn't that new? So many times I've driven 5.5 hours to a Jets game, watched it, and then driven back. Now I got to go 7 minutes up the Louvain. This will be kind of cool. So,
perfect.
I'm not sure what to make of Connor Hellebuyck. Is he the Vezina Trophy candidate from 2 years ago, or is he what he was last season? And we've seen both sides so far this season, the two games he's played. I don't know what to make of it. Is it a coin flip with him?
You know what, Rob? I think when you look at it for Connor Hellebuyck, if we were having this conversation, and I had this conversation on our radio station yesterday afternoon leading into the game in Pittsburgh, that if we were talking in January or February or even March right now, I would be a lot more concerned. But because going into last night, he'd only played one regular season game, I'm not that concerned about where they sit right now. And then also throw in the fact that Lauren Brossoit, their backup goaltender, has had the terrific preseason that he's had and the two games that he had to start the regular season. All the pressure isn't there right now on Connor Hellebuyck to be that Vezina Trophy finalist like he was 2 years ago this early in the year. Now, I will say, and I know you watched the game last night from Pittsburgh, he was tremendous. Like, he was, if not the one of the top, I would say, two or three players on the ice for the Winnipeg Jets in last night's game. So I think it was a nice confidence builder for everybody around the organization to see Connor have the night that he did last night, and to close the door with 37 straight saves was a big bonus for him coming into the home opener here tomorrow night.
Coming into that home opener, what is the feeling in the in this? I mean, you've been gone for a little bit now, but do you think the feeling will be in the city?
I don't know.
yeah, you're gone. And the reason I guess I kind of am asking that is because there was some serious uncertainty basically mere days before the season started with, you know, Byfuglien retiring, Patrick Laine, where was the contract situation with these RFAs and all these guys? And Byfuglien aside, and I think a 2-2 start has kind of helped make that kind of a non-story. I got to think the Jets fans are really back into this again and really thinking, okay, we can contend. Because 2 weeks before the season, I would have been thinking, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're bang on. The only question I got about the team was when I dropped my son off in his grade 3 class this morning, and everybody was more excited that I talked to Sidney Crosby yesterday than what's going on with the Jets.
Fair enough.
For the home opener here tomorrow night against Minnesota. But to be honest with you guys, I think there is an intrigue just based on the fact that the Jets play 5 of their first 6 games on the road. Like, we'll head into Chicago here on Saturday, and then we're back here against Pittsburgh on Sunday before a couple of other games, and then coming down to Regina for the Tim Hortons Heritage Classic. So based on the fact that Winnipeg plays a Central Division club for the first time tomorrow night in Minnesota, and for the most part, you talk to people around the league, I don't know if the expectations are that high for the Wild. So coming into this one tomorrow, you would think that there should be a pretty good buzz just based on the fact, for what we talked about earlier on, that the team was able to go 2-2 to begin the season here on the road and win that game last night, that there should be a considerable, you know, buzz around the building. It's obviously a great place. Rob's been in it a few times. I know, Roddy, you were in once, and had a chance to see what inside that facility is all about in the regular season. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great just based on the fact that we've seen 4 other crowds already, and you kind of want to get reaccustomed to what it's like when you have people in the building that are cheering for you and not against you.
You know, I guess you have been gone, so you haven't seen the analysis on TSN and Sportsnet. Maybe you don't watch it even when you're home, but I'm wondering if the Jets' blue line's rallying around the fact that they're just getting hammered on by everybody. And last night at the Pats game in the scouts room before the game, where I love going to get the buzz, they say it's the worst blue line in the NHL. Worst blue line in the NHL. Is that something that they would rally behind? And a football team would, but I don't know if hockey players see it the same way.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say they're the worst. I would say they're the least experienced right now. And if everything goes according to plan, Dmitry Kulikov is hopefully going to be back in the lineup. He and his wife welcomed their second child a couple of days ago, a young baby girl into the world. So it was great for Dmitry to be able to be home for that. He is expected to play tomorrow night. And hopefully Josh Morrissey's back in the lineup as well, if everything goes according to plan for him, with his upper body injury. So that would alleviate a bit of pressure with those young guys. And obviously it would, kind of be the defense corps that they had to start the season, whether it was New York or the Devils game. They were okay in their own end in that regard. And I guess the way I look at it right now is everybody knows that Trouba, Myers, and Sherrod are gone in the offseason. Then the uncertainty right now with Dustin Byfuglien. At some point, these younger players have to get an opportunity to get in to see what they're all about. So it might be pushing the program a little bit ahead of schedule right now, but the one story I will say, And for Rob Vanstone, who's a very big Jet fan, getting a chance to see Ville Heinola alive is worth the price of admission in itself right now. He has blown the doors off everybody expectation-wise coming into this training camp, and it's been a really treat to be able to watch him at 18 years old. You think about what he has done so far through four games. He has 3 years of eligibility to play in the Western Hockey League yet. And you watch what he's doing at the NHL level right now, so young. You know, I understand what everybody's talking about as to how young this D-Cor is, and they are, but I don't know if I'd quite go as the worst yet, just because they are kind of learning on the fly here at the same time under Charlie Huddy.
Well, and that's for sure, Munsey. The Jets under Kevin Cheveldayoff particularly have drafted so well. And obviously that's why you've been where you have been for the last several years. Well, my best to you and yours, Jack and Lindsay, Munsey, and I will see you in a couple weeks at the Heritage Classic.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We were talking about it on the plane flying home from Pittsburgh yesterday, just some of the logistics on what's coming up, because obviously I've got a bunch of people to see, and you mentioned the general manager from the province, and I know Adam Lowry's excited to come back, the former Swift Current Broncos. So we've got a few guys with some ties. Josh Morrissey played in PA, obviously. So there's a lot of guys that are really looking forward to getting in for a couple of days and one night and have fun time at Mosaic Stadium.
Well, there's a lot of talk about around here now. We'll see you soon, Munsey. Have a great day.
You bet. See you guys. Take care, Rob.
You too, Brian. Take care.
Winnipeg Jets broadcaster Brian Munns joining us from Winnipeg this morning. We will be right back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday morning, episode number 91 of the Rod Peterson Show. More 91s come in on the text line, the Facebook wall. There have been many. Alexandag. I'm not sure that he would want to be remembered.
Oh.
As, what's he remembered for? The biggest number one overall bust in NHL.
I remember.
Correct?
For scoring. RV?
Patrick Stefan was worse.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember Dag scoring that goal at the juniors and sliding by the other team's bench? And I think it was like, what, 12 to nothing at that point or something? That was a classy move.
Others from the Prairie Mobile text line. The great Joe Sakic wore number 91 while representing Canada at the Olympics.
That's a great one.
So thank you for that.
Joe.
That's outstanding.
Burnaby Joe. Why I enjoy audience participation. Cam Wake, somebody has pointed out. For dupes, Tennessee Titans 91, Cameron Wake. So a lot of 91s making themselves known today on episode number 91. Checking the poll results. For Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, will there be at least one trade on today's CFL trade deadline day? 74% of you say yes on Twitter. 26% of you say no, there won't be a trade at all. You see the poll results up there from our Facebook page. 89% say yes, there'll be at least one deal.
Hmm.
Oh, by the way, another Prairie Mobile text. Don't the Riders play this weekend? All I hear is bombers, bombers, bombers. Dude, this isn't a Riders show. We've got days leading up to the Riders at the Stampeders on Friday night. So, look, I'll do the talking. You do the watching. That's how this is going to work. And I used to put up with that in my old show. I don't have to put up with it anymore. And what are we going to talk about? They're 10-4, first place. They're really rolling.
And now they're on their way.
And now they're on their way.
I thought you did that on purpose. I felt like
No, I actually didn't. I actually didn't. But I will say this. And the other thing is that Winnipeg is, I've said it many times, our third highest viewed city for viewership. I don't know why that is, but we're melting the ice real fast, RV.
Very Winnipegish.
It's very Winnipegish. For whatever reason, they're taking a shining to this show, and they are front and center at the trade deadline. So I will talk about the Riders before the top of the hour. And Hall of Famer Jim Hobson will be in for hour two, along with Dupes, who's on the sponsor's couch right now. And I hope there's at least one trade by then to break down. But the Bombers are the team that everybody's looking at this trade deadline today. And Doug Brown, man, showing some huge cojones in the Free Press yesterday to come out and say, if they don't acquire a veteran quarterback, they're raising the white flag on this season. Right. That from Doug Brown. And I thought, wow, for him to do that. And the guy's got balls. He's always had balls. He's why he's writing, and it's why he's on the air. He's got takes, right? And he can back it up.
He's great.
RV, do you agree with that assessment that the Bombers are waving the white flag if they don't acquire a veteran?
I think you've at least got to try. Whether it's going to succeed is another question. Even if you make the trade, is anybody who's out there capable of rescuing the season? That's debatable. If you get McLeod Bethel-Thompson, he's leading the league in 19 touchdown passes, but the Argos, he don't even have, it seems, abundant faith in him. But I think you've got to try. If you just go let the trade deadline come and go and don't even make an attempt at upgrading the most crucial position, I think that's tantamount to surrender.
I think it's just a message to your locker room more than anything. Ed Hervey's always been a guy that's made a lot of deals at the trade deadline or late season acquisitions, and it fires up your locker room. And it just seems to me over in Winnipeg, what have they lost now? 3 in a row? They got to do something.
But then Streffler's done there, though.
Which is fine. He's a free agent at the end of the year. What's he done?
No, I'm just saying. But that at that point, that does signal the end of that guy in that organization. There is zero question. Yeah,
he's had his chance. He's got the keys to the Ferrari, and he's run it into the wall. He has.
Yeah.
Whereas in Hamilton, great chat yesterday with Chris Getzlaff, who sat on that chair, they lose their starting quarterback, and they might have gotten better.
Riders.
Under Dane Evans.
Riders.
Same thing. So the point is, what do they owe Chris Streveler? They've given him every opportunity.
But I look at that, and that is the exact same, on the other side of the ledger, the exact same situation, 180 degrees, to what goes on here in Saskatchewan. If you don't owe him anything and you're ready to cut bait with it, why haven't the Riders re-signed Cody Fajardo then? Because he's been the exact opposite.
Oh, I think they've tried, though. That's the difference.
You gotta.
I mean, yeah.
And why haven't the Riders also taken out whatever plays they're running for the first three quarters of every game and just thrown them out and just stuck with whatever they're running in the fourth quarter of every single game? That's my other question to Steve McAdoo. What are you doing? Rip those out.
They're so resourceful, though. And that's what that's what's impressed me with Cody Fajardo as much as anything. It's not necessarily some days the amount of big plays he's making, but when he's making them. When you get the interception by LJ McCray and you're on your 7-yard line and you go 103 yards for a touchdown, you're against the Bombers and you're deep in your own end needing to march all the way down the field to get a winning field goal, and the offense hadn't done very much that game, and they do it. It's not so much what he does as when he does it that really impresses me. And when you look at how early he is in his tenure as a starting quarterback in the league, that's what's really
amazing. But do you think Winnipeg just chalks it up to then, as Strevler's just run into a couple of in their mind, a couple of hot defenses? I mean, the Riders' defense is very good, and I was the one who was questioning at the start of the year, saying Jason Shires, what will they be? I think he's proved his worth more over than not. So do you think in Winnipeg the Walters and O'Shea and these guys are saying, yeah, just a couple bad games or a couple of good defense, we still, like, do you think in the upper echelon of that place that they believe that Strevler can be the guy, you know, to get them through this year and give them a chance better than anybody else in the league?
I don't think they have a choice but to believe that when you consider the options that are out there. I think one of the stories that's been a little underplayed when you look at the Bombers' descent has been Andrew Harris has been back in the lineup. And you thought, okay, with Andrew Harris back, that will restore some of the offense that not necessarily had been missing, because they moved the ball really well in the Banjo Bowl.
Chris
Strebler moved the Bombers into position for a go-ahead convert after his touchdown in the Labor Day Classic. So even during those two games when Andrew Harris absent, the offense was okay.
Yes.
But then he comes back and you think, okay, the catalyst is back. And that's what's really puzzling. Chris Strebler is probably just settled in terms of this is what he should be.
And I think,
but where's this Bomber offense with Andrew Harris?
And defenses have gotten enough film. They go, okay, like we're not rushing up the middle anymore. We're just keeping him in the pocket. Let him stand back there, because he will stand back there forever.
Couple of shout outs this morning as we have our morning coffee. Thanks for joining us today. Caliber Coffee providing the coffee as always today. Wayne from Victoria, BC chiming in. Good morning, Wayne. Sean in Saskatoon says, morning, Rod. I missed the past couple of shows, but glad to be back. Good to see I didn't miss all the football talk. Deadline day. So, yes, this is our CFL trade deadline special, and all we need now are trades. By the way, a news release coming up from the CFL this morning. The CFL is introducing a new award to recognize highly valued yet too often unsung employees at the club and league level. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi said in a news release, the annual Jane Mobby Award will celebrate professionals who work quietly but tirelessly behind the scenes on behalf of the CFL and its member clubs. So it will be handed out for the first time at the Shaw CFL Awards at Scotiabank Saddledome in Calgary on Thursday, November the 21st. Now, I love it. Why not? Unsung Hero Awards. My nomination would be for the great Hugh McKay. He should probably be the first winner.
In memory of Hugh, I think,
to be honest.
Would be perfect.
But the other, though, and that's fine. That's great. Great initiative by the CFL. Brought this up yesterday. We need to do awards like the National Football League for top general manager and top coordinator. And one thing I always want to do with this show and with my website is to make you think, the viewer, the listener, or the reader. And if you were to hand out the award for the top coordinator, which the NFL does, and it's a highly sought after award.
Didn't realize
most
that.
Awards are, who would it be? Oof. It makes you think. I like Brent Munson and what he's doing over in Calgary, the defensive coordinator there.
Yeah. Shivers is on that list.
Jason Shivers would be on
There's
the list
no
for the Riders.
Question.
Tommy Condell in Hamilton for what he's done with the quarterback change. And Paul LaPolice, depending on how this all plays out for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Won a couple games early with Chris Strebler, but as we've pointed out, they're on a 3-game losing streak with Chris Strebler. So, RV, again, I see the wheels turning in your head.
Well,
aren't these would be fun awards.
These would be fun.
This is a great debatable question.
Absolutely. They've got executive of the year in junior hockey. Why doesn't the professional football league
Which
have
is
one?
Basically GM of the year.
And, I never thought I would say this a year ago, but if the Riders have a strong finish and you look what has been done with a quarterback who'd been a career backup until June 13th, what about Stephen McAdoo? Mm-hmm. If you're talking about coordinators in this league who've done a tremendous job, and a year ago people were lining up to malign the Stephen McAdoo offense, I think Stephen McAdoo's got to be in the conversation as one of the top coordinators in the Canadian Football League this year.
I would say he could be in the conversation, but I would definitely, I don't even think he is on his own team. I think Shivers, and I just look back to like last game. I mean, for three quarters, that was all defense. I mean, the offense sputtered. I think, did we get to 20 punts between the two teams? Because it was getting awfully close. And offense, it did. It sputtered. It came alive at the right time. For whatever reason, literally, the sprinkle of Jesus seems to just happen at the right time for these guys. Like, I don't want to use that all the time, but when you see Fajardo going down the field, like, it's a giggle a little bit. But for what Shivers has done, considering... yes, they did get Micah Johnson, but considering you lose Willie Jefferson, you are dealing with some guys who are, you know, going into their second year. Sometimes you see a drop off in some of these guys, and that defense. How many games have you looked back and gone, you know, gosh, they got gouged? I mean, the Banjo Bowl sure wasn't great. Everybody has a one off, but for the most part, you could be pretty reliable. I mean, LJ McCray. I mean, this. Where has this guy come from?
Oh, goodness.
I mean, the plays he's making and the hits. He hits like a linebacker, for crying out loud. Like, he's got the fear of God in some of those receivers when they're running some of these routes, trying to come over the middle, or these little hitch screens that he's reading. I mean, full marks to McAdoo and what he's done, especially with a fresh quarterback. But Jason Shivers has been my most impressive guy as a coordinator, filling in for Chris Jones. Tons of questions. Can he do it? I think he has absolutely done it.
I might add, the coordinator award, the top coordinator award, needs to be voted on by the other coaches, not the media, because they don't know anything. RV didn't like that one.
I did my part.
I'm saying it's got to be voted on by the coaches, and I'd like to see the GM of the Year award voted on by the other GMs. And maybe this is awards we'll do here. And we'll hand them out Grey Cup week. And
I like it.
You know, so anyways, Rob, one more before we let you go. One more plug for 100 Things for Rough Rider Fans. Your new book available in November.
In November. I've never been in a situation like this where I'm saying, here it is. It's out in November, even though I'm actually holding a tangible copy. But this is my fun little book, 100 done in conjunction with Triumph Books. 100 Things Rough Riders Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And just... all sorts of cool little things, going back to the franchise's inception as the Regina Rugby Club in 1910 and right through till August. I wish, in hindsight, there'd been time to get a Cody Fajardo chapter in here, but hopefully there's a reprint coming.
There's a next book.
That's the next book. That'll be book number 4, if I'm so fortunate. So.
All right. Thank you, RV.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Oh, is that our review copy right there?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, RV. Appreciate it.
Oh,
now,
my pleasure.
We're really pushing this thing. We'll leave it on the desk here.
Now we're really
more
rolling.
More gifts. Yeah, now we're really rolling. Okay, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having
me. Jim Hobson next hour on the CFL trade deadline. By the way, producer Clark has asked me to share with you, if we hit 75 likes and shares today, we'll give away a $25 gift card to the Tap in Regina. So get liking, people, and sharing. It'll be a random draw. Jim Hobson next hour on episode number 91. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from, with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.